Thank you. Thank you, Renee. That was good. Welcome. I notice there's a few visitors this morning, so a special welcome to you. We don't have a children's program right now. Am I echoing? Oh, it's probably worse up here than out there. It's very echoey up here. Ring, ring. Can you hear that? Yeah, I'll keep talking and he'll fix it. So we don't have a kids program now, so we're going to start one up again very soon. And but if you want to at any time take your children out, feel free to do that. We've got a room out there and a creche and a playground. But you're more than welcome to stay. I'm not deterred by noise, so don't feel that's a thing to keep your children quiet. I'm used to kids making noise, trust me. And it's great to see families here, so a special welcome to you. Well, also, folks will know that this is my second message in a farewell series, as next Sunday is my last Sunday, has been already mentioned. And this morning, I'm going to speak on privilege. Privilege. And we're going to look at that because it's a hot topic. And both politically and sociologically, that looking around the room, we are considered to be a privileged people. And we're going to get into that a little bit and see what the Bible says. So I'm going to ask God to help us hear what His Spirit is saying to us individually and to us collectively around this idea of privilege. So would you pray with me this morning? Our Father, we want to say how much it is a privilege to call you our Father. And we thank you for the privilege of knowing Jesus, your Son, who came and gave his life for us so that we might have fellowship with you, so that our sins might be forgiven, that we might know what true life is, we might know why you created us, and what you have for us, and what you require of us. And so, Father, speak through your word this morning, we ask. Speak through me, your servant, that we might hear your voice, that our hearts might be receptive to your voice and the leading of your Spirit, to the praise and glory of your name. Amen. Amen. The privileged. What does the word privilege mean? I'm going to use it quite a bit this morning. Privilege. Well, in common use, it's been described like this, and I Googled this because I'm figuring that most of us don't go historically to a dictionary, we go to Google. And this was a good kind of definition. It is a special right, an advantage, or immunity granted or available to a person or group. That's privilege. It's been described as an unearned advantage, which allows a person to be not subject to the usual rules or penalties. They are exempt. That would be privilege. So let me ask you, are we a privileged people sitting here this morning? And so to help us see what the Bible says about privilege, I am going to run through just seven. I thought seven's a good number. Seven things that the Bible says about what is privilege. And so, if you are following Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning and put your trust in Him, then these things apply to you. Apply to you. Now, you can turn in your Bibles with me, or you can just listen to them, or take a note, or take a mental note as I go through seven things that the Bible talks about His privileged people. First of all, I want to start with God sends Jesus for you and to a broken people to cancel all your debts. I want to bring you to Luke chapter 4. I'll read to you Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. This is familiar because we've read this in recent weeks. Luke 4, 14. I hear you turning, so I'll pause and give you a moment. Although you will not be able to keep up when I get going. So Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. And he was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That is the year of Jubilee, the year that Israel and God's people were commanded to cancel the debts of those who owed them something. And there's a whole list of things that they owed and how they were to cancel those debts. But here, the Lord Jesus points out that he has been sent so that God would cancel your debts. Not just the people, but God himself would wipe out all your debts. That's the hammer in this passage being quoted. Not just, because not everyone receives sight. Not everyone's oppressed. In fact, he calls people who will be oppressed because he's called them. But the work of Jesus coming was to do these things generally, but ultimately, we find in verse 19, it is to proclaim God's favor that all your debts, which is the most important thing before God, have been cancelled and nullified through the ministry of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is privilege. A privileged people. The second thing I want to draw your attention to is that God, as God's people, he orientates our life. He orchestrates our life to bring these people to himself and to a point of realizing and confessing their need of him. Because unless God orchestrates and draws people to himself, we will stay hostile to God. We'll stay in our sin. And this is a privilege. Let me draw your attention to Isaiah 46. And I'll read to you from verses 9 through 11. You might just want to make a note. Isaiah 46. These are the words of the prophet Isaiah, speaking as God would speak. Verse 9. "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the ends from the beginning, from ancient times, and what is to still come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do what I please." That's God. "From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do." What God says through Isaiah is what God has done for his purpose and for his people. And that includes you, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. That he has called you from a land far off. And literally, it is a land far off from where this was spoken. And what he determines, he will do and has done by himself for you. That, my friend, is privilege. That is privilege. Thirdly, I want to draw your attention to a very well-known verse, one that you might all know, which is found in Romans 8, verse 30. Before I read that, I want to affirm that God knows you and calls you to be in a relationship with him. Romans 8, verse 30 reads, "And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. That, my friends, is privilege. Fourthly, in order to do this, God grants those he is calling to understand the gospel and to grant them faith, which is needed because of the effects of sin. To believe, he grants this. I want to read to you from Ephesians 2, verse 6, another very well-known verse. It reads in verse 6, and, because it's part way through something else Paul is saying, and God raised us up and seated us with him. God raised us up and seated us with him. How many have done this? Come here, son. Let me help you up on Dad's knee. Who understands what I'm saying? The little children. Children like us. Come here. They cannot get up on their own. And as mums and dads, what do? We reach down and we pick them up and we put them on our knee and we hug them. We raise them up and we sit them and seat them with us. And we go, can you see? And you're looking out or you're looking at whatever and you're holding on to them. And you feel like you have been raised up in heavenly places, right? On your mum and on your dad's knee. Ephesians 2 verse 6. Never read it again the same way. That is what our Father has done for us, and that is privilege. Paul goes on to write, with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of your heavenly Father raising you up and, figuratively speaking, not only putting you on his knees, but putting you in heavenly places. And that, my friends, is privilege. Privilege. Number five, fifthly, God forgives us our sins over and over and over again, and these will never separate us from our Heavenly Father. Romans 8, 37, you know it well, but let me read it to you, lest we become flippantly familiar. Verse 37. No, Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, friends, our sins and our trials and our woes and our disappointments are allowed by God for his glory and for our good. Now, it must be seen and understood in that way. First, for his glory, and then for our good. But none of these trials and tribulations will be able to separate us from his love. In fact, it could be argued that his love in those moments of difficulty is easily, more easily seen and tangible than those times when it is easy. Because we know God disciplines those he loves. And he shows his mercy when it is needed most. That, my friends, is privilege. Privilege. Sixthly, God calls us together as a people who are to serve one another, to become all that we are to be through becoming a family. A family of recipients of grace, believers, if you will. I draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Writing to the church at Corinth, he has this very, very inclusive language of a church that, if you read that church, you'd say this is the most immature group of Christians in all the New Testament. But take note of the inclusive language of privilege here as he writes to the whole congregation. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as from one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many, many. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you is a part of the body of Christ. That, friends, is privilege. Privilege. Lastly, number seven. God promises us that when our life is over, we will be with our Father and with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and with all those who have been redeemed throughout history, a great number that no one can count, John tells us in Revelation. And we will be in a place of glory forever and ever. Revelation 21, reading from verse 2. Revelation 21, verse 2. John writes, as he sees what God would show him, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God. Interesting phrase. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everything. Verse 7. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Children. Verse 22. Now John says these words. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is the lamp. And the nations will walk by its light, the nations, and the kings of the earth, these must have been the good kings, will bring their splendor into it. Good, biblically defined, in case you're thinking something else. And they will bring their splendor into it. On No, on that day, no gate, its gates will never be shut, and there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. See him repeating that language? Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those names who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Something that God did, writing their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. See, God promises us that when this life is over, and for some of us, to be quite frank, that is closer than for others. But when this life is over, we will be with our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the others that he saved throughout all history. And we will be there in a resurrected body. We will be there with a resurrected Savior. And we will be there, if you will, with a resurrected new heaven and new earth. That, my friends, is privilege. That is privilege beyond any other privilege I can imagine. What about you? When we speak of privilege, we are a privileged people. The most privileged of people. And I've just only just scratched the surface. We've only just begun. But I need to stop there because I said I was only going to give you seven. See, we are not first and foremost a privileged people because we live in Australia. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Kiwi. Or that we were born and or live in Queensland, the best part of Australia. And I'm not just saying that because I currently live in Queensland. Or that we grew up in a Christian home. Or that we escaped the main brunt of COVID-19. We are first and foremost privileged because of God's amazing work of saving grace through Jesus Christ. And that has been extended towards us. This past year and the future years is a time when I believe God's people need to ponder their privilege daily and regularly and deeply going forward. Because I think about ourselves, and what we think about ourselves in the world shapes our perception of reality. Whether it's right or wrong, what we think about the world and our circumstances shapes our reality, and our perception of that reality affects our behavior towards others, either for better or for worse. Anyone got any extra toilet paper at their house? It does. We can laugh at that, but our perception of what's going on and what we think about what's going on affects our reality and our behavior. There, every year they have a website where worldwide they ascertain what the most commonly used words are around the world. I've said it before, C.K. Chesterton said that if you change the language of a people, you change the behavior of a people. And so this institute regulates or calculates what are the most top words used in any given year. Anyone want to have a crack at thinking what last year's word was? Any ideas? Sorry? Unprecedented? Could be. That's a big word to... I won't mention your name because this has been recorded. Thank you. Any other words that might have come up last year as a number one word on the radar? Pardon me? New normal. Yeah. So there was a list of words from 1 to 50 and new normal, I think, turned up on there. Come on, there's something happened that started with C last year. Does anyone... Gee, you guys are so good at getting over things. Come on, what's the word? COVID. Yeah, COVID, COVID-19. A guy by the name of Trump turned up about 35. False news, fake news, but it was, a lot of the things were around COVID. Most common word used. Well, that's true, and you can go and Google that, and you can look at the words and feel a little bit more informed. But at a populist level, Australia did a survey in terms of what was the kind of the word that was on the street, you know, like not just the predictable stuff. Well, and they came up with this word, and the most frequently or most used word in general conversation is ISO. Now, you might not have heard it, ISO, and ISO was kind of like the cool word. And so this is what, let me just read you a few things. The corona pandemic has not only changed our way of life, it has changed our way of speaking, infecting the national lexicon with hundreds of new words and phrases. And some of them came really close, but ISO was the number one. Another one that was sort of, that was voted for by a lot of the Australian public was Black Summer, as a reference to the bushfires. But ISO, has, it says, has taken grip of a lot of the language around the marketplace. So here's an example of what people have been saying. We had ISO baking. We put on ISO kilos. And your ISO baking will wind up with an ISO waistline. And because you've been in lockdown, another word that came up. ISO, isolation. I thought that was rather interesting. Is that more around young people? Young people? Be people saying ISO? Oh, cool. Well, I thought, well, that's pretty interesting, but I've got to prepare myself for doing something in New Zealand. So I Googled what New Zealand's word was. Now, what do you think New Zealand's word was? It's not ISO. What do you reckon it could be? Bro? No, that was pre-COVID. Mate, cheers, chur, how's you going? Yeah, nah. No, all that's pre-COVID, okay? So what could COVID, you guys don't know because it's such a little country, you don't care. Well, I thought it might have been bubbles. You know, the bubble. You know, Jacinta always talking about stay in your bubble. I'm like, when I was growing up, that meant something completely different. Just, you know, mind you, quarantine is in Rotorua, so I thought bubble might have been quite a relevant one, if you know what I'm saying, if you've ever been to Rotorua. No, the word that was voted for in New Zealand was doom scrolling. Doom scrolling. Let me read to you what The Guardian, which is a newspaper over there, wrote. It said that doom scrolling is the word, New Zealand word of the year, 2020. Can't wait for 2021. They said, can affect mental health, said experts. Doom scrolling can affect mental health. Gee, you'd have to be a genius to come up with that, wouldn't you, really? Well, the name says it all, doom scrolling. And there was a picture in the article of this young girl with a frown on her face going through looking at how bad the world really is. Well, I could have said that's happening here in Australia as well. Now, you guys are too cool. ISO sounds way more cool. But doom scrolling. And doom scrolling is what it is. Everyone is scrolling to see what the next bad thing is happening in the world. The next bad news. Oh, no! Did you know? Yes, I can see it. Doomsday. And what people think about reality and what's happening affects their mental health and their view of privilege. Friends, that's why I say I think we need to understand more and more our privileged situation, our privileged status. One, so that we don't get caught up in doom scrolling, but that also that we are the people who have hope and faith and love towards those who have no hope, faith, and love. And I believe this is something that we're going to have to continually discuss and proclaim and reflect upon. Reflect upon what God says, more than doom scrolling, more than the woes and the fears and the bombardment of all of those things that if you took to heart, you would not get out of bed. And you probably wouldn't go to church because if you were that wound up, you're probably not going to get everyone else wound up and as intense about it either. And you don't want to be around those uninformed Christians because you know the truth. It is not going to help you. We are a privileged people. And so very quickly, I want to give you three things very quickly that privileged people do. Or to ask the question that Francis Schaeffer wrote the book, how then shall we live? How should we live if we're a privileged people? I want to give you three things how privileged people live before we conclude. Three things that privileged people do. Now, firstly, privileged people are generally considered a happy, loving people. That's what privileged people do. Real privileged people are happy and loving people. Now, I'm going to call this level one. Because after looking at these, I think there are levels. Because if you ask people, any person just about, what's the purpose of their life? Oh, I just want to be happy. You know, they might use different words, but they really just want to be happy. They want to be content. They want to feel good about their life. Most people are looking for happiness, level one. And you get that when you are a privileged child of God. The Bible says those who have been forgiven much love much. You know that verse? Those who have been forgiven much love much. And a loved much person is a happy person. Now, that's not Bible, that's me. But a loved person is a happy person. Think about that. Think about the people that you know who are happy. They are loved much. That's us. In the area of being happy, they are happy to fellowship with other believers. They're happy because they know Jesus. They know they love him. They're happy because they're privileged and they're blessed. And so if you're not happy and joyful, then all I can say is meditate on your status in Christ. Meditate on how much God does love you. And I know there's reasons for not jumping up every day, like getting out real slowly because there's pain and you might not be happy, but I'm talking about genuine joy. And there's bills to pay and there's all these things going on. But these are light and momentary troubles compared to the glory that awaits us in living with the Saviour. So first of all, a privileged people are a happy people. Secondly, a privileged people are an outward-focused people. They're outward-focused people because they want others to know what God has done for them, he can do for them. Done for you, God can do for them. They are outward focused because they've received grace and they want others to receive grace. They know the Saviour. They know what life is about. They want to share that. They're outward focused. And so this is level two. So you can be like happy and following Jesus, but the next level is, oh, what do I do with this happiness? Well, I spread it all around. I spread the joy all around. I'm going to want other people to come to know the forgiveness and love of Christ. And that there is one God and he loves him and he sent Jesus and all of that stuff. Jesus was an outward focused person. And he was about the master's business joyfully. Jesus was sent to seek and to save the lost. He was outward focused to call the unrighteous. It was said of Jesus repeatedly, he hangs out with sinners and eats with them. That he accepts them, he welcomes them and lived among them willingly to make them a privileged people. Jesus takes his privilege and shares it all around. That's what God's privileged people do. And to do that is a privilege in itself. God lavishes on us so that we can lavish on others. God is a prodigal God. Don't think God is the God who runs back to repent. Prodigal comes from the word lavish. He is a generous God. He is generous to the to the young son, he's generous to the old son. He is the prodigal God, the lavishing God. And on those whom he lavishes, the lavished lavish on others. That's what a privileged people do. Now, I want to share a very short story, and it's about Kathy. And so she's not here. And I was wondering whether we should record this or not, because she'd be embarrassed, but it's my last Sunday, so. And I'm going into quarantine for 2 weeks, so she's got 2 weeks to forgive me if she hears it. Anyway, I'm going to read out some portions of a text that I received from her. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble. Not all of it, just some of it. So we've been trying to get stuff together, and some of you know that New Zealand is not the country it once was, for a whole bunch of reasons. And so we're just trying to do things cheaply and affordably. This is what she writes in one of our long texts that we're having at the moment. A councilman dropped off a bin to me yesterday because there wasn't one here, and we got talking. So we've moved into this two-bedroom house with all of our kids on the floor on mattresses. There'll be 10 or 11 of us. Samuel decided he wants to come back to the pack. A real crude. So anyway, so there you go, if it wasn't just full enough. So anyway, the councilman drops off a wheelie bin to me yesterday because there wasn't one, and we got talking. He told me that there were a set of bunks at the transfer station, and she got in brackets, fancy name for the dump, because he works there. So it's a small town of about 5,000 people where we're living. So off he went there to check it out, but one part was missing, so Kathy left them at the dump. We need lots of bunks, by the way. But then today, when the people dropped off the first set of bunks, because she's bought some bunks on Marketplace, and he was carrying them in, I noticed my friend from the rubbish dump helping them carry it in, the bunks that had been dropped off by these other people. And here's the rubbish man carrying it in, as Kathy looks down the driveway. After we got it all in, he told me he picked up a dryer that got dropped off at the dump today from a deceased estate. So he's got two jobs. Works at the dump, and he works for the council, and he works for Kathy. Three jobs. He said to me he'd already tested it and brought it over for me, but I just got one yesterday, secondhand from Marketplace for $80. I asked if I could give it to the family who dropped off the bunks. Remember, they're there, as I know that they don't have much from viewing their bunks yesterday at their house. And they were stoked. New Zealand, good word, as they didn't have a washing machine or dryer, so at least they went away with something else. Drops down to another text. Then half an hour later, my rubbish dump friend, she writes, and I'm beginning to get a bit worried about this, rings me, she says, and gets me to talk to his partner. That's okay now. Who is desperate for nurses at the rest home she works at, because the overseas ones aren't coming over, and she said that they would take me as a grad nurse even if I don't get the job that I've applied for, and that I'm to ring the dump guy and he'll give me her number and we can go from there. Well, that was great. It hasn't quite finished. She goes on to say about the family who's dropping off this set of bunks, who just won a dryer as well as they dropped them off. She said, this family live in Marfell. Marfell, no one in this fellowship lives in a place like Marfell. Let's just put it like that. They live in Marfell and are definitely on the poorer end of the scale. And yet they drove all the way out to here, which is here is Stratford, which is 40 minutes, to deliver their bunks, even with petrol being expensive. Now, New Zealand petrol is like $2 plus a litre. They live 40 minutes away, and they are very poor. And Kathy writes, funny how people without much help others, eh? The dump man is probably in the poorer side of the scale too. And then she goes on, so we've also ordered some bunks from some people in a place called Whanganui. And she said that these people who are delivering the bunks are too from Whanganui. Well, friends, why am I saying that? Well, because we are privileged, and we are privileged to help other people. And you don't need to be privileged massively to be a blessing to someone. Kathy was just a channel. Oh, here's an opportunity. I was given a dryer. She's going, oh, what? Those people need a dryer. Here's a dryer for you. Don't tell them it's from the dump, but it's working. And what a generous-hearted man this man was at the dump man, who's married. Generosity. Now, that really didn't cost Kathy anything except to take the opportunity to offer something. We miss opportunities all the time. I'll wind this up. I missed an opportunity the other day. I was out somewhere and in a place where they serve food. That's all I'm saying. And I go to lots of places where they serve food. ISO. And one of the young girls working there bounced up to me and said, Tony, it's my last day. And she was really excited. I said, oh, that sounds like it's a good thing. She's going to uni. Asked her about uni. And she was just really happy to share that she was going off to uni. I said, that's wonderful. And I asked her about that and said, oh, you'll do great. And we talked. I was a little bit taken back because now, I've only seen this person a few times, but she obviously wanted to share it and thought she could share it with me, and I felt privileged. Anyway, I went away and I got in my car and I thought, you idiot, Tony. I was praying for her when I got in the car. What I was thinking, I should have just prayed for her right then in her workplace. Maybe not. Maybe it was a grace thing. And I was thinking, I missed that opportunity to pray for her and go, man, I just want to pray a blessing over you. Is that all right? Or something like that. And I could have prayed for her rather than praying for her as I went to my car. And I just thought, isn't it like that? It's not like, okay, God can't use it, but I'm just wanting to show you and demonstrate that even though we privileged people have an outward focus, it's not like we've got it nailed. We're in a journey where those little things now are a reminder to me that I need to be bolder than I already am. I need to be, it's the God's little reminder. You could have just sown another seed in there and God could use it. So don't feel disappointed or discouraged when you miss opportunities, but praise God, the Holy Spirit's at work reminding us of the things that we can do next time. Amen? As we look out for others, because that's how a privileged people live. Well, lastly, I have one more thing, and it's going to be very short. That's level two. Level three is this, and I just hope that in reality these apply to all of us. Level three. A privileged people are marked by sacrifice. They're sacrificial people. So what I've been describing so far really hasn't been a sacrifice. It's just been normal Christian living. But privileged people are purposely and deliberately and thoughtfully putting themselves out. Sacrifice does involve pain. It does involve hurt. That's what's caught up with the word sacrifice. It's no sacrifice just to be a normal Christian, just being helpful and generous and everything else. But sacrifice involves sacrificing something that costs you, that hurts, that is purposeful, that you're going to go out, that you're going to actually feel this pain, and it's going to make life harder for you for the sake of someone else's good. Where are we now? We are at the foot of the cross. That is where we are. My privileged people Well, we'll conclude there. And we will pray that we will live as privileged people. My prayer for you is that you will grow in your joy and your happiness in this life. And that you will want to love on others day in, day out, outwardly focused. And my prayer is for you and for me that as a privileged person, I would grow to become more willing to sacrifice and to truly be a follower of Jesus, whatever that takes. If that's your prayer and your hope, then let's join me in prayer now. Now, Father, it is a privilege to call you our Father, and we've been on a journey this morning. And you've reminded us through your word that you are our Father, and you've put us on your knee, and that at great cost, the cost of sending your Son, who was happy and joyful to be about your business, who is outward focused everywhere you're going, you're loving on people, Jesus, sometimes giving them a word of rebuke because it was the right thing and the kind thing to do, but many a time and all the time bringing grace and mercy as you looked outward and then ultimately giving your life as a sacrifice, both to redeem us and to show us what God you are like, that we as your people would live like you, Jesus, denying ourselves and taking up our cross as we seek to bring in your kingdom happily, joyfully, and sacrificial. Father, change our hearts. Make us more like Jesus willingly. And let us find joy on that journey as we do so. For your glory and in your name, we all said, Amen.